down and the weather's dreadful, we always have a room to spare. Don't mind mother, she is not well, the doctors say she's not all there.
She's crazy, I must confess,
I'm so sick of cleaning up her mess.
Survivor Girls, we have another bonus episode because it's spooky month and we're music nerds, and Ice Nine Kills just dropped a brand new album on Friday the 15th, so we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, buddy!
I'm your host, Meg.
I'm Lunchbox.
And real quick, hit up social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher. Subscribe to us on any podcatcher, wherever you're listening to us, make sure that that happens so you get all of our content. And also buy our merch, creepitreal.redbubble.com. And like, we're just going to jump right into it because I have the excites.
Mm-hmm. We're dropping another episode, another bonus episode for you. And I mean, it's like, what, two in less than 1 week?
Mm-hmm.
Because Lunchbox slacked off and totally forgot to drop that first one at the beginning of the month. But,
mm-hmm.
but still, hey, we love you and we want to give you more episodes. And this is a pretty big
also,
one.
Also, did I mention that Ice Nine Kills drops a new album on
yeah,
Friday?
Yeah, this is a big one. If you did listen to our bonus episode,
thanks.
You know that Megan's number one pick for top spooky bands is Ice Nine Kills.
I literally have their band logo tattooed
like
on my wrist.
Like, this week, she went and got the, like, on her, like, she's branded.
Yeah.
Like, she's in it to win it.
Yeah, I've got ink inked on my wrist.
See,
so.
Now, I know you're a big fan of Ice Nine Kills, and the tattoo actually looks really cool. At first, when you look at it, you're like, oh, wow, honey, you need to probably go to therapy, because it looks like you just cut into your... Who hurt you?
That was the idea. It was supposed to be a little twisty.
But yeah, it looked good. But I'm kind of mad because you would never let me go and get my full side James Brown.
We're divorced now,
tattoo.
So you're welcome to go ahead and get that shit done. I told you I would leave you.
It was gonna have a banner that said "Good God" on it.
Well, now you're free to move about the cabin. And so, Lord help the next woman that has to deal with that.
I feel good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yes, this one is a lot of fun, and I remember the first couple of tracks for the album, I was sold.
The singles,
because,
right?
Yeah, the singles, like for Assault and Batteries and
Hip to Be Scared.
And Hip to Be Scared. I was like, I liked them, but there was something about them that just didn't...
Really? Not even Hip to Be Scared with the Huey Lewis breakdown?
That was the only thing. But the rest of the song, it was very... There was something about them that didn't, like, push me over the edge as much as, like, the Silver Scream 1 did. I mean, hell, when... I mean, you got... When you have songs like Stabbing in the Dark, I'm not a Michael Myers fan. But when I listen to that song, I'm like... I'm Team Michael listening to the song because it's that damn good.
Right.
Or I mean, stuff like the, you know, the Scream song, Jaw, like, all their stuff from that one, like, everything just got me in there. And so I was a little nervous because I was like, okay, well, the songs are good, but I want them to, like, kind of push it a little further. Then the album drops.
No, then they dropped Funeral Derangements.
Last week, the week before.
On the 9th, they dropped Funeral Derangements, which was the heaviest single they had put out thus far. That one is not a radio-friendly one. There's a ton of screaming, guttural screaming, especially.
Blast beats.
Yeah.
Talking about kids dying and...
Yeah, becoming skid on the pavement. It's so dark.
That's so good. But yes, I mean, but that was the thing, is like, after... Funeral Derangements, I could feel where it's like, okay, that's it. Like, now we're good.
Yeah. And then... So, on the last album, they covered a lot of the big ones. And then when we did our, when Hip to Be Scared came out, we did a little, like, round table chat about what could potentially be on Silver Screen Part 2.
Yeah, it was like right at the end of the episode.
Right. We talked about that a little bit. And we weren't... It was... It's how do you follow that up? They've already done Freddy, Jason, Michael, Ghostface, Jaws. Like, they covered a lot of really big... Edward Scissorhands, like a lot of really big movies. So wait, it's like, well, now what do you
which
do?
One was Edward Scissorhands?
The World in My Hands. The one with Tony from M.E.S.T. That was Edward Scissorhands.
I don't feel like I've listened to that one. That might be one of the ones I always skip.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was Edward.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Give it another listen. It's actually really nice.
Okay. I didn't realize I had the guy from M.E.S.T.
Yep. So it's like, well, what are they going to cover this time? Well, boys, here we go. Cabin Fever, Child's Play, Psycho, Pet Sematary, Resident Evil, American Psycho, My Bloody Valentine, Hellraiser, The Fly, Hostel, The Evil Dead, and Candyman.
Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of that episode, Chucky and the Evil Dead were definitely on our like list for like, well, this is stuff that we wanted to see.
Yeah, well, when we saw the track listing, I was like, oh, okay, so Ex Mortis, we know what that one definitely is for sure.
That was an easy one.
The Box was pretty easy. Mm-hmm. We had a feeling that was going to be Hellraiser.
Now, I will say this. I actually, I was like, okay, the Box is probably, it's going to be Hellraiser. But a little part of me was like, is it going to be Creepshow?
Oh, because of Fluffy and the Crate?
Yeah, because Fluffy and it was the Crate, but they called it... the Black Dolly Murder that called it the Box. That's why I was like, oh, but
right,
it's
right,
like,
right. You weren't sure you were going to do it with that.
But still, they never actually go extremely on the nose for... I mean, like, they get really close to that line on a lot of their songs, but that was, like, for the song titles, and that's why...
Yeah, but Rainy Day... Gun to my head, I never would have guessed it was Resident Evil before I heard the song.
Yeah, the only reason that I got that it was going to be Resident Evil is because when they posted, like, on their Instagram that, oh, we got a new single coming out, and they showed the Umbrella, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, then, but just looking at the track listing, I never would have known it was Resident Evil. Yeah. So do you want to go this line by line, each song, and talk about it?
Sure.
A little bit?
We can do that.
I'm excited. I'm sorry. Such a fucking nerd. I don't get excited about much, so when I do, I really embrace it because it feels nice to feel something.
And it's good that you are feeling something because you typically are just rotting inside. but like it's more of like me, for me, I'm like that.
You're so excitable.
I get that. I nerd out so bad when something like really excites me. I get like. Giddy, and I'm like, I'm a 5-year-old child again. It's just like I did it just recently. They dropped the new Batman trailer, and there's like a whole bunch of Batman stuff. I'm a Batman nerd, so I'm sitting here. I'm like, I got my Count Chocula. Like, yeah, I was just excited.
And I don't normally. No. I'm like, oh, that's cool, or I like that. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
And then like when we like something together, and I know that you like it, and I know that you would probably get excited, and I go, oh my god, you need to check this out, and I'm like waiting, just staring at you. I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna pop. And you're like, yeah, that was really cool. I'm like, no, not let it out. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I've been feeling it a little more recently with music because I got really excited when Spirit Box finally dropped their album too,
which is amazing.
Oh my god, I've been obsessed with it for like the last month. It's amazing. If you're into metalcore, that's the way to go.
Ginger is another. I mention this one every time we talk about Spirit Box, but I have to talk about Ginger with it too because it is. Just as amazing and heavy and
I like,
beautiful.
I like the sound of Courtney LaPlante's singing voice a little bit better than Tati's, but yeah. Tati can go.
Yeah, they're both amazing.
Yeah. So, line by line here, we have... Our first track is Opening Night. It's just an intro track.
Just talking about was, like, it's the... They're like, oh, the 13 tracks.
It was sort of like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre opening where it's like, this is based on true events type of thing. Talking about how... Spencer murdered his 28-year-old fiancé, and blah, blah, blah. And then Welcome to Horrorwood, which is an original track, not based on anything in particular. It's the lead-in. It's a little Tim Burton-y, and it's the lead-in for the rest of the album.
Yeah, it's definitely bouncy, but then it gets heavy as well. The way that he, like, the song's written, it's more about going to Hollywood and basically just selling yourself and dying, like, or being murdered by Hollywood.
Not literally murdered, but I mean, I guess if you think about some of the, like, the Black Dahlia case and stuff like that, then yeah, you can think about literally being murdered, but it's more like the murder of your soul and humanity.
Yeah.
Now,
the thing that I actually like about this song is because of a different song by my other favorite band, He Is Legend. On their first big, like, big name CD, they have a song called I Am Hollywood. Mm. And it is an amazing song. It's aggressive, but it's about these parents finding a ransom note. Or it's more of like a, I guess it's a ransom note, but it's also a, it almost feels like kind of like a suicide note too, because it's talking about how this girl is being kidnapped by Hollywood. Hollywood is taking her, and he's not giving her back. And there's a whole like thing where the girl's like, it's like, Mom and Dad, I'm not coming home. And it's just like, this is really kind of dark, but it's just, it's making Hollywood into this, like, kind of like serial killer kidnapper.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it fits the profile.
It's pretty awesome.
But yeah, Welcome to Horrorwood is basically just it's the buckle up song. We're in for a ride. The next track is the first one based on a movie. It's Rash Decision, based on Cabin Fever.
Mm-hmm.
I like this one a lot. I'm kind of surprised they did two Eli Roth movies for this one. They also did Hostel, which we'll cover a little bit towards the end.
The Cabin Fever one, I like that they did this. However, it's interesting that they do kind of pull out movies that don't particularly go for a horror figure. And
They didn't really do, like, a specific slasher or something, at least not too much on this one like they did on the last one.
And that was the thing, was, like, and I like that they did that, where it's, they brought something that is, I mean, Cabin Fever did really well when it was released, and then it just kind of fizzled out into the ether type of thing, but
it still has a pretty strong core fan base, but it's not one that most people just getting into horror will reach for. It's not an obvious one. Eli Roth's really an acquired taste anyway.
But that was this song, I tend, every time, like, it just comes on, and it really kicks you in the ass. It's a good jumping off point for the heavy coming from.
There's still a ton of melody in it, though.
Yes, there is. And that's the thing, is, like, they had a good transition going from the horrorwood, because it was bouncy, little Tim Burton-y, and then they also threw in that really deep metalcore, like, tiptoeing into deathcore, for sure.
Not as hard on this one, but I can see, like, the flavor in there, and the song is written from the point of view of Ryder Strong's character.
Yes. One note for me, Cabin Fever is the one and only movie that made me nauseous to the point where I had to walk out of the theater. I've never had to do that in my life. Out of all the gory shit that I've watched, I don't know why that one just made me, like, lightheaded.
It might have been all of the body horror with the skin and everything else.
The scene was when the main character is going to the shed, and he opens it up, and the dog's eating the girl's face. And they show the girl. That part, I was like, okay, I'm good with that. And then all of a sudden, she starts breathing. And, like, I was like, oh my gosh, she's alive. And I was just like, oh, I'm getting lightheaded. So I had to walk out for a little bit. I came back, and he's fighting a deer. I'm like, what the fuck happened? Like, I missed a whole bunch of shit. Like, he's in a truck fighting with a deer. And I'm like, huh?
You shouldn't have walked away.
Like, God damn it. Like, but I was like, that was, again, it's a special place in my heart, because it's the only movie to ever make me have to leave.
Right. It squicked you out that bad. The next track is Assault and Battery, is one of the singles. One of the God damn it.
I'm not editing this.
Why
out.
Is that so hard? It was one of the singles.
Hips at night.
This one actually dropped on my birthday this year, which was really cool. It's Child's Play, obviously. Hopefully, if you're listening, you've already heard it. If not, get on it. It's super childish. It has a really interesting, like, bump, 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 bump type of rhythm.
It's almost like a very old school toy commercial.
Yeah, and then they riff a little bit on the old Toys R Us jingle.
Mm-hmm.
For the chorus, which I think is pretty clever. It took me a minute to really get into this one, just because I didn't really initially like the Nanana Boo Boo stuff that they put in there. It's grown on me a lot now. And
Nanana Boo Boo, he's gonna get you.
Yeah. I was kind of like, eh, at first. But it's grown on me a bunch in the last couple of months, and our daughter is terrified of this song. The video really freaked her out.
Yeah, like, so our kids are well-groomed into horror. I mean, our son is obsessed with Ghostface. I mean, he actually, like, we sat down the other day, we were having dinner, he's like, hey, can we watch Scream? I was like, I'm so proud.
It's so here.
I was like, oh, well, let's not watch Scream just yet. And he's like, well, how about Monster Squad? And I'm like, just stop. I can't handle this. But it's like, he'll jump on YouTube, and every now and then he'll pull up the Iceland Kills videos, and the Assault and Batteries one pops up, and, yeah, our daughter, like, because Spencer and the group go in, and they almost look like zombie.
Yeah, like, they riff on the Chucky doll look, but they take it one step further and make it a little bit even more grotesque than what Chucky was in the movies. It's completely black and white. They washed all the color out of it. They've got the red eyes. They went a little bit more, like, blending in, like, the Child's Play reboot a little bit with the red-eyed thing. And the kid was a little older. It wasn't an Alex Vincent 6-year-old kid. It was probably closer to 10, 11, or whatever.
And Spencer, he did, like, this half, like, almost like a Phantom of the Opera Chucky face. And I was like, a little part of me was like, man, like, just go for the whole thing. I was like, just go for that was the thing that made Chucky Chucky, was that it was very colorful and everything else. I was like, that.
Yeah, they just did their own little twisty version of it because copyright laws.
Oh, of course. But it's hilarious just having our daughter be completely freaked out. And now,
I played the album today in the car, and she was like, no. She asked me to skip it.
Well, her brother also terrorizes her because he'll go in, he'll start singing the Nanana Boo Boo part. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, stop it.
Yeah, right.
The one thing that I wasn't sold on with this song is the kid. It's not even a kid. It's clearly a grown person, and they just auto-tuned the shit out of the voice to make it sound like, it's like, mommy, mommy. And it's just like,
yeah.
I was like, why not just get, like, you know, one of your friends has a kid. Just grab them, and all they have to say is, mommy, mommy, my doll's alive. Like, it's that easy, and it would sound more natural than that. And it's, I don't know. But the rest of the song, it's really fun, and I like that they did the twist where it is that bouncy, but then Spencer does a really bad potty mouth, and it's just the, like, you know, Charles Lee Ray would. It's just the whole, like, it's like, hey, Andy, it's time to play, motherfucker. It's like, okay, like,
yeah, and
I like that twist.
And if you like a little bit of the guttural stuff, there's a little bit of the guttural vocal in there. But it has this, like, the groove's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this one took a minute to grow on me. I didn't love it initially right out the gate, but overall, like, I like Assault and Batteries. It's definitely
it's fun, and I like it. But there's things where I was like, you could have tweaked that a little bit.
Maybe, I don't know. I think it all came out pretty well in the end. The next track is the shower scene, which I think when we talked about the track listing a couple of months ago, we were like, oh, that's Psycho.
Oh, easy.
This was one of the easy ones to peg. Goes, no, it's fucking. What else would it be?
That was a softball throw.
Yeah, for real.
And we got one of those big old, you know, Captain Caveman bats.
Yep. It's from the point of view of Norman Bates, where I kind of like that they did that, where he's still trying to be the nice guy, like at the beginning of the movie, and when Marion gets there, and he's talking about how his mom's crazy and he's tired of cleaning up after her and all of the trouble that she causes. And he's trying to get you know, Marion comfortable, and there's a little bit of that where he was, like, peeping on her a little bit while she was getting ready to shower and all of that other stuff. This is actually one of my favorite songs in the album.
Yep.
It's super melodic. It's really pretty. It has a really... the melody is actually really, really nice. I really love the lines of... where is it? I hope saying goodnight doesn't mean saying goodbye. Now under the pressure, we're drowning together, going down the drain tonight. I really like that chorus. I like the poetry, the lyrics there. They threw in a little bit of, like, there's a listen to mother thing, so you get a little bit of that, the whispering in the background, like Norman Bates would have. But yeah, no, this literally is probably top three on the album.
Yeah. First time I heard it too, I was just like, oh, it's got a very, very good flow to it. So I was like, that's really awesome. And I love that they actually use, that was another thing about this album too, is the use of sound effects and, yeah, and backtrack, like just vocals and things like that. Hence, and I remember watching some of their live stuff on YouTube, and that's what they did, where it was like they had something playing on the background while the, you know, band was playing, so that way it still flowed with the song. But that was something where, with the Assault and Batteries one, probably one of my favorite things, because it kind of like gets your anxiety up just a little bit, is so they have the commercial of Chucky playing, and then right before the song, like, just starts to go and just rip into you hear these little tiny, like, heavy footsteps. They're like, dum, 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 and it's like running towards you, and then he does the whole Andy, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, it's just,
and there's a little bit of that in the shower scene too,
and they do the psycho music too, and that really, the
screech sound,
yeah, that bing, 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 yeah, bing.
They got a knack for being able to kind of incorporate some score into the songs in a really clever way. They did that with Rock the Boat too, for the breakdown.
Oh, yes.
A tasty breakdown. Yeah, so shower scene, top three for me. This next one is actually our son's favorite song on the album, and one of yours, I think. Funeral Derangements, it's Pet Cemetery.
Yep.
This one, they lean in real heavy into the metalcore, bordering on deathcore. They have the old man in the background saying dead is better. He's not doing an impression of Judd.
It's close, but it's not.
Well, he didn't try to do the main accent, dead is better. Like, he didn't try to do that. Like, it was just a very deep old man's voice saying dead is better. Talking about how it's written from the perspective of Lewis. There's points where it'll actually raise the hair on your arms a little bit, because there's one part where you're getting into, it says, the lyric is, with the church bells ringing, I'll start digging fast, they'll never know what he's missing, now the cat's back in his cage. You hear the sound of a truck horn, and then he goes, oh my God, Gage.
No, he doesn't just say, oh my God.
No, he's screaming.
He's like, gah! It's like this high pitch, long, just, it really, really gets to you.
It's, and it's that terrified parent scream, like.
Yeah, because he's watching all of it.
He's watching the whole thing, but you hear the truck sound, and like, that kind of will give you, like, the shivers just a little bit.
And, I mean, Pet Cemetery for both of us are like, I mean, now that we have kids. It hits
different when you got kids.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Pet Cemetery because I have my own little theories that aren't really explained. And I mean, I have to, like, reread the book again, but there's, like, a whole bunch of stuff that makes that story, like, just so impactful. But, yeah. The one thing that I love is, you text me this morning that you're like, our son has watched the Funeral Derangements video 3 times, 4 times.
I haven't even gotten out of bed yet.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, I'm so proud. But, I absolutely love this video. And, like, one thing that I love about the Ice Nine Kills stuff is that they have so many friends that are in the metal side, along with the horror and film side.
Yeah, they've managed to squeeze in little cameo things with we talked about Rainy Day already. The Rainy Day video, they had Ash from New Year's Day. In this one, for Funeral Derangements, they had Doc Coyle as one of the people at the funeral.
Yep.
Which
he's
from
Bad Wolves.
From Bad Wolves and God Forbid, for mm-hmm. those of us who are into early 2000s metalcore. There's also, I kind of need to pause the video and see if there's anybody else at that funeral to see the faces.
I think there is, but the only ones that are really noted is Doc from Bad Wolves. The guy who's playing Pascal is from a band called Bad Flowers. I've never heard of them. I'm gonna have to like.
Check I've heard of them, but I've never listened.
I've
to
never.
Them.
Yeah, it's completely off my radar. But he's front and center right there.
And then the truck driver who hits the kid,
which is the best,
is Miko Hughes, who was Gage in the Pet Sematary movie in the
80s.
Yeah. So Gage killed Gage.
Oh, so good.
And it gets really twisty, and it's weird.
The thing was, like, the first time we watched the video, the way they cut it, it's very quick. The dude also has a beard, and he's holding a cup. The thing that I saw was, like, the fifth time that I watched it. I saw the real quick shot just before he hits the kid, there's, like a straight-on to his face shot, and you could see that just that look of him, but it's like he's got the beard on him. And then like I happened to like just I was I pulled up Google to go search for random art shit and or Pokemon cards, who knows. And then but I saw like there's a little article, it's like, oh, like Miko Hughes is in Ice Nine Kills because algorithms know what the fuck I like. And I was like, oh shit, it was him. I was like, I knew that there was something, mm-hmm. but I was like, God damn, that's awesome.
And the video is really cool because they completely, like, wash all the color out. It's not fully black and white, but it's pretty grayscale. It's really dark and gloomy. I think they nailed the mood of... Yep. of they managed to whittle down a 90-minute movie into, like, a 3.5-minute yep. track.
When the track was released, you and me got really excited because we were about to record, and we pulled it up, and it starts off with Lewis and the old man looking at a dead church on the ground. He's like, how do you explain death to a kid? And the guy's like, well, you know, maybe you don't have to. And then all of a sudden the song just like, da 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 da, it's like, just comes in. I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, oh, like I like lean back. I'm like, oh shit. And they're like, I don't even know what the beginning of the words are saying, because it came in so quick.
It's slave to the plot, let him rot, or bring him back forever.
Yeah.
Sometimes dead is better.
But that's the thing, is like, so right there, because he goes, sometimes, and then like, they do the old man's voice, like, dead is better. I immediately, both fists went straight up in the air, and I was like, yes! Like, they said the thing quick! Like, this great.
They get right into it,
and
yep.
then Spencer comes in and re-says that line, screaming it, and I was just like, the dead is better! I was like, I'm gonna punch my kids! Like, we're about to throw them, like, I'm about to, like, start a mosh pit in your living room. Like, it was just like, I'm gonna drop kick something. Like, I'm gonna kick a cat. But it was just like, yeah. I was so pumped. And on top of that, like, Spencer, I love when he does just that death, I call it the deathcore stomp.
Yeah, he does it right at the end of the video.
Right in the breakdown, it's like, da-na-na-na,
da-na-na. Leg goes way up just, in the air.
Boom, like, just the ground shakes beneath
yeah,
them.
This is
so good.
This is the one track where they start to get really heavy.
Yeah.
Up until this point, they dabble in it, but this is the one where they're, like, really going for it.
This was immediate stink face, death melon, and just like rock'em sock'em fist. Like, it's just like, yes!
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that good.
Yeah, so, and weirdly, our 7-year-old's favorite song so far. So.
And weirdly, it's mine.
So good for that. Number 7 is actually Rainy Day, Resident Evil. I thought we talked about that one, but it's just because I mentioned it at the beginning. I must have lost track of myself.
Yeah.
It's one of the shortest tracks on the album at 3:01. There's only one other on there that's shorter at a flat 3 minutes. This one's Resident Evil. This is their most, like, when a lot of people point to Iceland Kills, a lot of times they say they're like Panic at the Disco with breakdowns kind of a thing. This is one of those songs that I would point to. Say, that's probably true. It's the most melodic. It's the most radio friendly that they have. Not on the entire album, but definitely the most radio friendly they've released so far. This one is. This one also took a second to grow on me because I was kind of like, huh. Probably because I didn't see Resident Evil coming as a potential.
I like habit. that they did do that where it's not. It's a horror movie, but I think they went more for the
game.
I think they mix a few things about the game into the song, but it's mainly about the actual like Resident Evil movie that came out, because the voiceover thing where it's the run, it's the voice from the security system from Umbrella.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, like she says, run.
She says, run. And then there's another line where Spencer says, game over. And then she says, you die.
And that's from the game, because it's like, it doesn't say game over. It just says, you died.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's cool. My buddy Brock is a uber Resident Evil nerd. He's been hounding me for years about playing. I finally finished. It was like years ago. I finished Resident Evil 1, and then he was like, "You have to play Resident Evil 2."
Resident Evil 2 is one that most Resident Evil gamer fans will point to and say is the best game.
I started playing it, and then I got like looped into playing, you know, probably Call of Duty or like Arkham, one of the Arkham games. So I still need to finish it now that they did the remaster and stuff like that. So I am going to play it. But that was the thing, is like, I do enjoy, like, after playing the first one, I really enjoyed it. And it was just one of those things, like, for the song, I loved just the incorporation of the wording that he gives, where it's just the, where he's like, where evil's taken up residence. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like, good play. And then the whole thing of like, who knows what red and white will say.
Yeah,
it's
the like, rainy day thing, you know, is just riffing on the fact that it's the Umbrella Corporation.
So I was like, okay, that, like, all of that is really good, but they never say the Z word.
No, he says the Z word
does
once.
Does he? Mm-hmm. I didn't see it. Okay.
Yeah, there's a line here, resist the zombie they'll make of you.
Oh, okay.
So they did use the Z word once.
But still, I mean, I enjoyed the song. The thing that didn't sit right with me is the chorus, because it felt like the sound went way up, where it's like,
it became pretty operatic.
Yeah,
for the chorus, compared to the rest of the song, for sure.
But it also sounded like he was in like a metal room, and his voice was just echoing off the sides of the walls.
It's because there was some like gang vocal thing going on in the background.
Yeah, but that's where it's like, I would almost felt like if you just got rid of that sound effect and kind of brought the tempo down, it might sound a little better.
I liked it because it sounds like, and they might have done it this way, I don't know, but it sounds like it was layered over a choir.
Well, that's the thing, is like, if they actually did a choir behind them, that would be different. But this is, it's just Spencer getting like amped up, and they multiply his voice a couple of times. And like I said, it kind of has that like little bit of a metallic sound to it, at least for me. And it just doesn't, it's not, it's good. It's just I feel like, again, if you just tweaked it a little bit, it might come out just a little bit better. But I definitely appreciate the song for, you know, bringing in a horror game. Yep.
And this was the video that I mentioned before where they had Ash Costello from New Year's Day come in, and she's up front and center. And you can't fucking miss her because she's still doing the split hair, red and black.
Yeah, I saw
that. Went blonde for a minute, like, and I was like, oh. And then I saw the video and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is that? And then I saw a behind the scenes thing, and she goes, hi, finally making a video with my friends. And I was like, oh, cool.
That is you.
So yay for confirmation. Next track was the first single they dropped back in July. If you want to go back through our track listing, you can hear us talk about it. It's Hip to Be Scared. This is the first song on the album so far to have a feature. Kinda. It's got Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach in a very small part. He features a little bit more in the video than he does in the song itself.
Yeah,
this one is American Psycho.
And that was something where I was like, okay, that's cool. The song is really fun. It really plays into, you know, what the movie, like the essence of the movie.
Well, because it goes from very like restrained and controlled to fucking chaos, like in parts of it, which is literally the Patrick Bateman thing where he's trying desperately to hold on to the fraying threads of his sanity. And at the same time, he's losing grip in different places throughout the movie. So it comes in very easy and controlled. And then there are bits like leading into like the pre-chorus verses where you get the bump rhythm. So it loses the smoothness. It becomes a little more chaotic. And I give the guys in the band a lot of credit for being able to do this. They have really clever ways of working in the pacing and the flow of the film that they're doing with the movie. They did this really well with Thank God It's Friday. They have where it gets super chaotic in the middle towards the end. Towards the end it sounds like the song is ending, and they come in and blast you one more time with the Kiki Mama screaming, which is just what the movie does. So it starts off really, Friday the 13th starts off kind of a slow burn, builds to a crazy crescendo at the end with the chase between Mama Voorhees and Alice. You think you've hit the end. Everything is okay and placid, and then you get the jump scare at the end with Jason. I really find it clever that they're able to work the tempo of the film in with the tempo of the songs that they're writing.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. I don't think enough people notice that that's a thing that they do.
Yeah. And with that tempo change, where because it does, it's very slow and then builds up, and then it's like right when he gets into one of his murders, it gets crazy and just that metalcore. Mm-hmm. And then
the pre-breakdown.
Oh, and then the Huey Lewis pops in.
Yeah,
and
the
I grin like an idiot.
I remember sending that to you, and I was like, you need to listen to this, you need to listen to it right this
second. I was in my car, and I went, ah! Again, I'm excitable.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's Huey!
Yeah, so they do a little bit of a riff on Hip to Be a Square. In the pre-breakdown, they do the whole thing where Patrick Bateman is like, oh, do you like Huey Lewis in the news? And they do this whole bit.
No, not really.
And Jacoby Shaddix is doing the Jared Leto character, the Paul Allen character. And obviously Spencer's Patrick Bateman. And so he's got his poncho on, and he's doing the stupid dance, and he's just walking around behind the couch to get his axe. And like, so you're getting this really goofy pre-breakdown section. And then the breakdown kicks in, and there's screaming and chaos and, like, down-tuned guitars, and it's a whole thing. And then it goes into, like, the end of the movie where Patrick's on the phone calling his lawyer going, I killed somebody. And the lawyer's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
The thing that I was kind of on with this one, at first I couldn't tell where Jacoby was in the song. Like, except for that part where the Huey Lewis is going on, because, you know, he's just like, oh, not really. And then he gives just, like, one or two lines. I was like, oh, that's all you had him for? But it's, like, after he does the, hey, Paul! And then the big, like,
I think he's doing the screaming, and I think because he breaks in with part of the chorus, and then he's singing the chorus through the rest of the song.
Yeah, exactly. So he's, and in the video, they show him laying on the floor in a pool of blood, and he's singing the song. A little part of me is like, I know that Jacoby gets a lot of shit, and Papa Roach, and there's always those Papa Roach haters. It's like, I listened to Infest the other day, because, like, I just like, you know what, let me just, you know,
see. It's been a while.
I used to really love Papa Roach, and then it just kind of fell off after that second album. But I was like, I pulled up Infest again, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, I really like this. Like,
my dad actually took that album for me.
It was good. I was like, I liked it. But I was like, I don't feel like they deserve that much hate. And it's like, I get the whole,
hey man, they've new metal, over whatever, the last 20 odd years or however long they've been around, they have evolved so much to stay current and relevant. And at first I was like, you're just trying to keep up with the trends. And now that I'm a little older, I was just like, no, they're doing it to be able to continue to do their jobs. So, because for a little bit there, I was like, what are you trying to be, like an 18 Visions ripoff? What the fuck are you doing?
Like, they just put out a new single, and I was just like, holy shit, like, this thing cranks. Like, it was good. I think it had, like, the dude from Asking Alexandria on it. I was like...
I think so.
I forgot. I had to relook it, but I was like, oh my God. I was like, Papa Roach is... I don't know why people are dogging on him.
Yep.
But that was the thing, is I kind of wanted more Jacoby out of that, because I know he's got a really good voice.
Yeah, they did something similar with, going back to the last album, with World in My Hands, the Tony Lovato from Mest. And I love Mest. I'm a pop punk kid. I have been forever.
But I know the song now, yes.
He had a very, it's like featuring Tony Lovato from Mess, but he has such a small, it was a similar thing where he kind of cuts in on his own at the end towards like 2/3 of the way through the song. You hear him doing the Lost on My Own, like it's, you get that bit, and then he's singing with Spencer through the rest of the song. And they did something pretty much the same kind of thing here with Jacoby. But this one was really good. This one hooked me right away because I liked the humor. American Psycho is known for not only being a horror movie, but for having some really dark humor in it. And they riff on that a lot in this song. Like, there's little bits where he's like, but wait, let me give you my card. That's Bone. Like, that bit where Patrick Bateman gets the card. There's a part about him leaving a party to go return some videotapes. Really, he's just going to go murder somebody. There's him filming the sex scene, and he says, you know, when the girl tries to touch him, and he goes, not the fucking face, you piece of trash. Like, so they managed to weave in a lot of the humor that was in American Psycho, which, you know, good for them.
So, I enjoyed it, but it was just one of those, like, I kind of wanted more Jacoby on that one. But,
it'd be nice, but, I mean, any features is good. I definitely felt the same way, where I was like, if you're going to use a feature, like, get him in there.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is, like, a lot of the guys that they get to feature on the albums, I was like, oh, they're really good, but they're very similar to Spencer. So, the thing was, like, when he goes, like, hey, Paul, and he starts cutting him up, and you hear that scream in the back, it's like, I couldn't tell whether or not that was Jacoby or if that was Spencer. And that was something where it's like, if it's Jacoby, like, that's awesome, because that scream is boss. Like, it's good. And then on top of that, where it's like, well, if it's Spencer, again, it's boss. But it's like, I would rather it to be that, just to get more Jacoby in there. So.
Yep. Speaking of features, the next song has a much heavier feature. There's a lot more of the feature in this one. And this one I know is your favorite. It's Take Your Pick, featuring Corpse Grinder from Cannibal Corpse.
Oh.
They go full deathcore on this one. There is so not... good. I don't think there's a clean vocal anywhere in this song.
Yes, there is.
Is there?
Yep.
Oh, it's, there's that it's little... The it's the little... Not the chorus.
Oh, it's
the... It's the Love Hurts, like, little... Yeah.
Love Hurts...
There's that little Love Hurts bit, but basically there's no clean vocal work in this song at all. So the album dropped Friday the 15th. I get up in the morning, I go to put it on, and I send you the track, and I'm like, please tell me you've listened to this already.
I was already up at like 1 a.m.
laying in bed. Because I know this was the one you were looking forward to.
Yes, like, and that was the thing. It was like, you're like, because you sent me something, it was like, at like 10, it was like 10 p.m. the night before, and you're like, guess what tomorrow is? And I was like, I know, like, I got it. And then, so I was already up, like, working and, or, like, doing artwork or just, you know, farting around, watching Pokemon videos or whatever. And, because that's what I do, I'm a grown-ass man, and do my taxes. And so I'm up at 1 a.m., and I was like, I put it on, I'm laying in bed, I have my earbuds in, and all of a sudden, the song just starts ripping in, and I was just like, my eyes, like, lit up, and I was just like...
It's so beautiful.
It's glorious. it's just... I love you. Like, it's so good. And then, like, I was just like, okay, well, what movie could this be?
It's My Bloody Valentine.
No, I got that, because they actually say it's like My Bloody Valentine. I was like, oh, that's great.
Well,
it's
a movie also,
I don't give a shit about.
Yeah. He says, when the screams echo in the Hanniger mind, Cupid's calling for a homicide. When the screams echo, you'll be mine. Yeah, so there's that where they're kind of do that as a repeat. And he says, because roses are red and violets are blue, they'll need your dental records to identify you.
So it was like, as the song was getting along, I was like, okay, I got it. I'm feeling it. All of a sudden when they said like the My Bloody Valentine part, I was like, okay, that's great. And that's another movie that I just feel like I just can't get behind. The original is not bad.
I like the original quite a lot. Yeah. The second, the remake has no reason for being.
No, except for them just trying new 3D technology. That's
right,
like,
but essentially it's the same movie.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a girl that's getting into a truck and the pickaxe is being thrown
and
towards
the
windshield.
Into the path of
it. Yeah, she goes into, like, oh no, like, come on.
It's bad.
Yeah, you deserve to die. But that's the thing is, you know, just weed out the weak ones.
It's true.
But that was the thing. It was like, it almost makes me want to go back and rewatch it because it's been years since I've seen it. And maybe as an adult, I'll have a little bit better understanding or a better appreciation for it. On the Silver Scream 1, I have to say, other than Rocking the Boat, because that's Jaws, and we all know who I am with Jaws, because
Jaws. Yeah.
But it's Merry Axmas. That's my favorite song on the album, is just because it's dealing with a holiday theme, murder, and then just the dirtiest, just grunge, just that deep vocal guttural, just...
They did a grindcore breakdown.
Just from the butt all the way up. Just, oh my God. Like, it's, yeah. But that's the thing, is like, so that song, it's because of how heavy it is. This one on top, like, but, Silent Night, Deadly Night was also a movie that I just never cared about. And then we watched it. Now the song actually enhances it, and I was like, I really enjoy that movie. Not because of the song, but...
The song helps.
Everything included, I was like, I don't know. And so now with the My Bloody Valentine song, I was like, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it and see if I can get a better appreciation for it. Because I think I shit on it a little bit harder when I was younger. But with Corpse Grinder on it, oh.
Oh, it's so dirty.
What a beautiful duet. Like, I mean, and just the...
It's so sludgy.
You could hear the neck on this song. Like, it was just, he's just the thumb with shoulders. It's just so good. But Corpse Grinder has been doing death metal vocals, just balls to the wall for, what, almost like 40 years or something like that?
Well over 30.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, he's been doing Cannibal for almost 30, but he's been doing...
He was in other bands in the 80s.
Yeah, he did,
but
like,
I'm saying
Monstrosity.
It's well over 30.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's 40, but it's probably
I think it's pretty close. I might be thinking of...
It's got to be at least as long as I've been alive.
Yeah. I mean, because they started, like, I think towards the late 80s and go, you know, from there, but, like, with... But that was the thing, is like, so he's been doing it and he still sounds great, and it's not a whole lot you can do to manipulate his voice or anything like that to enhance it, to make it sound better. It's just like, it's just Corpse Grinder. It's just there. Like, he just comes out, and like, I love where they, again, it's just a duet where Spencer will start screaming something and then Corpse Grinder comes right back at him, and then it's just, they volley it right on back. And just, it made me smile so much, just because I'm just a, like, I've most recent, not recently, but like for like the past like probably about 3-4 years, I've been just like obsessed with Cannibal Corpse, and to the point now where it's like, they just announced that they're going on tour with Whitechapel and Revocation and Shadow of Intent. And, like, they have a show going on in Tampa. And I'm like, hey, guess what? You're probably going to have to watch the kids that, because I'm going to Tampa. Like, and the thing is, that sucks, is that not one of my friends likes any of the music that I like.
You're on your own.
I get to go to Tampa by myself. So
it'll be fine.
Yeah, but it's
make
like
a weekend of it.
I think it's going to be really awesome. Finally hearing the Cannibal Corpse, like the new Cannibal Corpse stuff, on top of the new Whitechapel stuff. Holy nuts, is that good? And they haven't even dropped the whole album yet. It's just 2-3 tracks, and it's already kicking the shit out of everything.
It gives you the tinglies down below.
It's so, and also they started doing, it's a little sacrilege because they are very heavy in the deathcore vibe, but then they started, like, I think it was like on not the last album, but the album before, the last track, they added in clean vocals, which is kind of like a sin for death metal in that grand scheme.
Well, they've been incorporating clean vocals in a lot more than they have.
The last
album they've been adding.
Yeah,
more.
The last album, The Valley, is when they did like a really good mixture of both clean and heavy, and it's Phil is amazing. It's
so
like
they've been cruising more into like metalcore rather than doing the death metal thing.
It's still like you. It's still in the heavy death metal, like deathcore side, but it's just like when it goes into the melodic singing parts, it's beautiful. And I swear, Phil could just go and just make an acoustic album and just sing, and it would be one of the best things you could hear in a coffee shop. It's that good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah, this song, Take Your Pick, yeah, it's definitely number two in that end. It's just because, like, I literally was going to throw my dog. I was like, this is great! Like, yeet! Like...
Poor Peach.
Yeah, like, I can't... Like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just, like, when I... Just don't be around me, bro. Like, just don't. It's, and as Jamie Josta says, you know, don't be around me. But he also goes, man, that was hard. And that shit is. Oh, the breakdown. We didn't even mention that. Holy God.
Wow.
It, yeah.
It went down smooth, huh?
Oh, God. It's like, it starts off where the breakdown happens and it's slow. It's just that slow, just. Chugging, it's so chonky, and then it gives you that stink face, and you're like, ooh, like you walk by like a really smelly garbage can, you're like, oh man, like that's kind of like, ooh.
But and, that's the face you make.
And then it gets slower.
Yeah, the song slows down.
It breaks down the breakdown, and you just go, oh. Like, you're holding, like, a big old bag of dirty diapers.
And that's
like,
when you can really hear the corpse grinder voice in there, too.
Yeah, and so you're like, you're going, oh. Then it breaks down again, even slower, and you're just like, oh. Like the dirty diaper bag just popped open, and you're just like, no. Oh, so good. And then it picks back up again. It's like just the transition. It's just so beautiful. Like, it's so, like, it takes what they did with Mary Axmas and just kind of amplifies it up. Or even the Rocking the Boat, where it's just that, where they did the Jaws done up with for the breakdown. But it's just like, just, oh my God. It's just like, oh. It's just, you can't help it. It's just so good. Go listen to it and hear why I'm so excited. It's that good.
Right. Next track on the album is The Box, featuring Brandon Saller from Atreyu and Ryan Kirby from Fit for a King. This one's Hellraiser.
Yep.
This one is also top three for me on the album. It's gorgeous, first of all. It has a very similar vibe to the Hellraiser movie. It doesn't quite get the elegance of the film, but it plays into it a lot. I really love the melody of the pre-chorus into the chorus. They incorporate the line, demons become angels to some. The chorus goes, all hail the priest and all hail the priest of hell, master of sin, bow to the needles and pins, cause the puzzle's in pieces again. So drag me back to hell, master of sin, where all of our troubles began, cause the puzzle's in pieces again.
What's the line that they have in there about the angel?
Demons become angels to some.
Okay.
It's not quite the line from the movie, but I think the line in the movie is where angels to some, or were demons to some, angels to others, or something along that line. So they kind of, to make it fit with the song, they kind of condensed it a little bit, but,
It's really good, but when I heard that angel part, I was just like, oh, I don't remember them saying that. And I was like, oh, wait, no, they it was just it's a different wording from that. So it's like, it worked, and it's, again, very beautiful. That was one of those songs, too, where the people featured on there are definitely, literally, featured. Like, they show up more than just, like, what Jacoby did.
Yeah, so. They both, you can definitely hear, because I've been an Atreyu fan for a long time, I can definitely hear Brandon's voice. I'm not familiar with Fit for a King, so.
I am.
But Ryan Kirby is a screamer. He does the dirty vocals for them, so you know where his parts are for sure.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, Spencer can also get that dirty as well, so it's hard to sit there and go, was that Spencer or was that, you know, was dude from Fit for a King? Like, it's hard to figure them out, and that's where a little part of me is like, you probably could have just taken him and put him in a different song with you and then just had Brandon on that to give the clean, because you could tell when Brandon comes in. It's
he's good. Got a really distinct voice. You know what he sounds like.
And it's great. And like I've said this before on a different episode, and I mean, the new Atreyu album is just, it's killer. It's awesome.
And there is not a single song over 3 minutes on that album.
It's great. It's awesome.
It's short. It's to the point. Get in, get out, move on.
Yeah.
But I really liked Brandon on this. This song is top three because I love Hellraiser. I think the ones that I'm drawn to the most are the movies that I... Well, Psycho is not particularly a favorite movie of mine. I really do... I love the whole idea of the story. I haven't watched it in years, though, so I'm going to have to go back and see it, but...
I have never really liked Psycho. I love the concept, it's great, but the movie itself, I'm like... It's like, I've heard people say, like, oh, The Exorcist is just a boring movie, you know, and I look at something like Psycho, and I'm like, Psycho's kind of boring, because, like, you only get, like, a little bit of Norman Bates going nuts, and then you see his mom as a skeleton. Again, super creepy, awesome concept, but it's just like, I don't know.
But, the box is, honestly, the song's beautiful. I love the flow of it. This one's more melodic, especially when you get, like, when you're coming off of a song like Take Your Pick. It's a little bit of an exhale, because Take Your Pick comes in so fucking heavy.
It's still got that heaviness to it, but you're having that...
They go back to metalcore rather
than deathcore. And I like where, because Hellraiser does have that, like, a brutal elegance to it, I guess is a good way to put it. That was something that was really, really cool. I was kind of hoping that we've gotten some of the lines from Frank. I don't know if it's in the lyrics or not, where it's like Jesus wept or anything like that. No. Like, that would have been a really cool, like,
I've been thing using, at the end, I've but... personally been using Jesus wept as an expletive for a while.
Anytime I say something stupid, Jesus wept.
So I've been saying that a lot. Yeah. No, they're doing this, the song is more from the point of view of somebody who wants to be taken by the Cenobites.
Yeah.
They're desperate for that pleasure and pain that they're going to provide.
Speaking of, have you heard that they are going to be rebooting the Hellraiser movie through Hulu?
I hasn't scared.
I hasn't interested.
Oh.
I hope that they do a good job with it, but the reason that I'm interested in it is they have already cast their new Pinhead. And if you guys have already seen, you know, any, if you guys follow any like horror movie sites, I'm pretty sure you've already seen it, but it's Jamie Clayton is the new Pinhead.
Who's that? She.
It's a she. And you want to know why? Is because in Clive Barker's original story, Pinhead is a woman.
Yeah. She's so, the priestess.
And this is going to be produced by Clive Barker.
So they're
going
to go and actually, like, use the source material.
Yes.
I hope... Wow.
And that's why I have an excite, because it's like, oh, man, this could actually be really, really something. Granted, it's going to be... It's, like, through Spyglass, and it's going to be, like, a Hulu original movie, which a lot of... Most of the time, they're not very good, but because it's got the original creator... With, you know, he's, and he also knows how to produce and direct his own movies, so he's gonna have, you know, a really good hand in it. But the fact that they are gonna go with the female Cenobite, on top of everything else, I just hope that they have a decent budget where they can get some really good practical special effects for the Cenobites.
And I really hope they lean into the pleasure and pain part more than they Barker was allowed to do in the original Hellraiser movie.
And but that's another thing is like it's like how far can you really take that?
It's on Hulu, so you can probably take it pretty far.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, with the way that the world is being with oversensitive people and yada yada, everything's offensive. That's where it's like, okay, are they going to hold back? Are they going to do, like, it's like, what are they going to do? And I've saw a lot of people online that were very ignorant to the original book when that news got dropped. They're like, well, Pinhead's a man. It's like, why are they doing it? Like,
because oh, they're he just, wasn't actually.
They're just being social justice, blah, blah, blah. And like, Pinhead's like, no, that's a good thing. Because technically, like, they changed it from the other thing. Doug Bradley is amazing as Pinhead. He's so iconic. And it, just that voice, it just, it rings. But it's like, for her, I mean, she's got a great look. And for her, them to put the pins on her, it's going to be awesome. And on top, if they actually do the other Cenobite stuff, like there's a Cenobite queen, that for, if I remember the story correctly, there's like a throne that she sat on. And it was just like, it was supposed to be like super gnarly. I'm going to have to reread it again. And that might have been the Pinhead character sitting on the throne. I have to reread it, but because it's been years. But that was the thing. I was like, I got really excited. I think this is gonna be really cool. So
that should be really neat. Yeah. But yeah. So the box is probably number two or three for me. Mm. It's neck and neck with the shower scene. The next song is FLY, features Buddy Nielsen from Senses Fail. Senses Fail put out a new song a month or so ago featuring Spencer. So this is sort of like you scratch my back kind of a deal.
Yeah. And that was kind of weird. It didn't really sound.
It did anything. Not sound like Senses Fail at all.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to them since they were like Screamo. But
well, they went from the Screamo stuff, and then they were like, it was like two albums ago or something like that. They went straight hardcore, and I'm talking like in that vein of like Cro-Mags or like Knock Loose. Like, I mean, they went hardcore, and I was just like, oh, I'm in on this. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, this the new Senses Fail song, I was like...
Does not sound
so
like
so this is yet. Senses Fail now, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
This is Freak Flag for me. I don't like this one.
I can't pin... What movie is this for?
The Fly.
It is The Fly. Okay.
The Cronenberg movie. Mm-hmm.
Because the way the lyrics play out, it starts off where I'm like, okay, yeah, it's, you know, Brundle doing his thing, and then like the lyrics don't really tend to hang on and keep that concept going. It's weird. It's like I gotta like continue to look at it or listen to it. But that was the thing is, yeah, this is probably one of my least favorites on here. It sounds good. It's just not something I'm like, that's fine.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
This one's the dud. And almost every album for any band, there's going to be that one song where you're kind of like, eh.
Yeah. And I absolutely love The Fly. Like, that's like one of...
It has nothing to do with the movie. It's just the song is just bleh.
But that's the thing is, like, I almost feel it's like, oh, you guys got to, like, you know, get it going on that. Again, the song itself, it's structure defined. It sounds okay.
It's a song.
It's just, yeah, it's not the best at all. So...
Nah, I'm not even take it or leave it. I'll leave it. I don't like it at all. And that's not a slight against Buddy or the band, but when they basically beat you upside the head and then they deliver this afterwards, it's kind of like, it's underwhelming. Yeah. Following that is Worst Vacation, based on Hostel.
Yay.
And they riff on Rammstein just a tiny bit.
Notes.
You have notes.
I have notes. You could have tried to get Linderman for that. How awesome would it have been?
I thought the same thing.
Like, just that part, that first
just
part.
Just sort of the Eins Vai Dry part. Like, I really think that would have... yeah, no.
That would have been so cool. Just to hear that just that deep Linderman voice. It's like, it's so... And I am well-versed in Rammstein. Like, that is something that I've grown up with. And it's just like that voice is just so damn good to listen to. To hear him do that opening part, or even like some of the stuff, because he also does like for his side project Linderman, like he's done like English versions.
Lindemann.
Is it Lindemann?
I think it's Lindemann.
Am I saying Linderman?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't think there's an R in there.
Sorry, my southernness is coming out, but it's just Linda.
No, Linderman was the character. He was the nerd in Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. The German dude from Rammstein. Yeah.
That's all of them.
Yeah.
The vocalist from Rammstein.
The guy that sets himself on fire all the time.
That's all of them.
No, they don't. They just stand next to fire. A lot of it. They spend a lot on pyro.
So much fire.
No, but Linda, man, he ends up like, he puts himself in a suit and he like lights himself on fire and then sings like, I think it's...
Is it from Mind Tile, I think?
Yeah, I think it's Mind Tile. Like, it's...
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But so. Yeah, so we this one seems to be written from the perspective of the predator, the ones who are going after the boys in the movie. Some of the lines are really cool. I'll kill them all, paint the walls with their flesh and bones. All aboard for your worst vacation, a holiday for the prey, fuck humanity, no pain, no gain, no mercy. There was a line in here that a girl sings, and she says, and that makes you my bitch. There's some really good stuff in here. This one's super fun. And they do play on the sort of agoraphobic thing that Hostel was playing on with the dumb Americans abroad and stuff like that.
They even mentioned something about that. Where it's like...
Yeah. On this trip, there are no survivors. And in this club, your life don't mean scheisse. You don't like our customs and stay in your country. So that's a couple of the lines in the song.
Yeah. That was something where it's like just that German thing. And not only just them just doing the German lines, but like the music itself, it just starts off Rammstein.
It's a little industrial.
Just dun 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 dun.
I think they were like, hey, if we're gonna go and do Hostel, I think we're gonna have to do it in this style.
It worked beautifully. Yeah. Like it's a really cool song. And again, it kind of sets it apart. Like each song has its own thing. It's still metalcore and you know, tiptoeing on deathcore, but there's different vibes, and I love that where you can get, like, because each movie is completely different, so it's, you know, you get that different feeling. So that
Hostel has it has the title of being torture porn. This is one of the ones that a lot of people point to, and that post 9/11, early mid 2000s, like, where a lot of American horror movies were getting to be super violent, as sort of a pushback against the Bush era that we were dealing with. And Hostel's definitely one of those, because it played a lot on the xenophobia, not agoraphobia. Mm-hmm. That was something completely different. I'm an idiot. The xenophobia of Americans suddenly being afraid of people who are not like them. So what do? You take a bunch of American frat boys, you plunk them down in a country they don't know the language of, and they don't understand, and they think they're going to party, and they're easy marks, and they get dragged into a situation that they have no business being in. So yeah, this one's really good. They get a little bit heavier again. They kind of head towards where they're playing a little bit more industrial, which is cool. It makes me chuckle just a little bit, because, you know, they probably, like, in my mind, like, if it were me, I'd be like, Hostel. We're in Eastern Europe. I know. Let's just go like full German industrial on this one and have a good time with it. So Wurst Vacation. The next one, Ex Mortis. It's Evil Dead. This one's pretty fucking groovy.
Well done.
Well, because there's a part in there where you get the, oh god damn! Like,
yeah.
It has a really cool groove to it. Like, that's like, look, literally there's a, like, a dum 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 dum.
The first time, because this was the second track that I listened to right after the eighth or ninth time that I listened to Take Your Pick. For Ex Mortis, I am a very big Evil Dead fan, and it's like, I actually had some pretty high expectations for this one. I kind of feel like I wish they would have went in a different direction with it, but I'm not unhappy with this.
It just didn't quite, your expectations were
on. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that kind of like bouncy like song for it, because Evil Dead is very not. I mean, like there's comedy bits for like the Evil Dead 2, but at the same time, like it's still, you could, I would still make it a little bit more of a edgier song. This song to me sounded like a Fall Out Boy song.
Well, they had a little bit in there. They go the ba da 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 da.
Yeah,
like they have that in there. Yeah,
and like even like just the, it's just the way the, when the cold wind blows, and it's like all I could hear is Patrick Stump like just doing the chord. Like it sounds like a newer like the way that Fall Out Boy is now with the, a lot of their newer material. Like that's what I'm hearing.
Mm.
And again, it's like I'm not unhappy with it. Sounds great and it's a lot of fun, and especially when they get into the part with Ash and where he's like hey, chuck on this, and then they do the gunshot, and then they do like it's a breakdown for it. They stop and then he does the groovy.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh shit." Like I was like, "Okay, I'm in. Like this is good." But the way that, because of the bounciness, and then when it drops to the breakdown, it kind of feels literally like just a drop. Like it doesn't,
it's
flow
a little
into
disjointed,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like with like Take Your Pick, I mean, it's like even when it drops
again.
Yeah, where it's like, oh, okay, it's heavy, 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 heavy. And then it just kind of eases into the first breakdown. Goes into the second, goes into the third, and then it kind of picks back up through the trench. It's like, okay, that works. For this one, it's just like bouncy, 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 and then gunshot.
Fall off the ledge.
Drop, and then it picks back up again, so.
Yeah. So cross the Book of the Dead off your reading list. Necronomicon, Ex Mortis, join the Army of Dead. Don't, Army of Darkness, don't resist.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, the chorus is fun, but I can see how, like, you could definitely be like, well, this could be a Fall Out Boy or Panic at the Disco song,
yeah,
with a couple of tweaks, yeah.
And a little part of me is, like, because you said, it's like, oh, that, you know, they've been known to be called, like, the metalcore version of, like, Panic at the Disco, and it's like, get fucking Brandon on that. Like, Brandon Urie, like, he's not afraid to get, like...
Yeah, lean into it.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's... He's got YouTube videos where it's like Hardcore Tuesday or something like that, or it's like he's screaming like positivity at people, like in a hardcore voice, like, your hair looks beautiful. It's like, oh God. But it's like he's got a really good like sense of humor, and he does like that type of music, so, and he can do it. Like I've heard him get dirty or like loud and screamy and stuff like that, and he's got an amazing voice. He would be perfect on this track. It's like, man, like that's a missed opportunity right there. So
it is, but there's always room for a remix when they drop the final cut like they did.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Because
you know next year they're going to drop a final cut where they have a million like other little tracky, acoustic-y things or whatever they want to throw on the end of it.
Yeah.
All right, final song, Farewell to Flesh. It's Candyman. This song is fucking amazing. I listened to it like 3 times back to back.
Yep. Yeah, this is one that you could just hit it on repeat and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Super beautiful, very elegant, and
they captured the mood of the movie really well.
And the metal on top of it, like in the deep, like in the darker parts, it really kicks. So I mean, it was a really, really good blend. So agreed, it's
yeah.
Awesome.
How about a hand for the honeybees hooked on the creed of their colony? So cry out and cry out so you can see 5 times to hail a legacy. Left to die under the sun, there's nothing sweet about me. And then probably part of one of my favorite parts is towards the end. There's a line that says, framed and falling in a world gone mad, because I've bled all the good from your soul and only left... And then, like, towards the end of the song, it says, you're sweet on me, honey, forever. My queen bee and me together forever. It might sting, but just surrender. Honestly, this song's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's the longest song on the album at, like, just over five minutes.
It's really awesome. And then, on top of that, they bookend the song with sound effects of like a beehive. And it's just, like, it's really, really cool. So, mm-hmm. I mean... And the whole thing, it's like, there's nothing sweet about me. It's like, oh, okay, I gotcha. Like, yeah, I'm with you. Like,
no,
it's
good. I get it. This song hits me right in the chest.
Because you're a big Candyman fan.
Candyman's one of my favorite. Yeah. Candyman's one of my favorite horror movies. Probably top three. The original Candyman with Tony Todd, that abomination that dropped a couple of months ago was fucking trash.
Did you actually see it?
I watched it. It was boring as fuck.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know you watched it.
No, it was boring. And the twist at the end was not that twisty.
I'll have to talk to you about the twist
later.
Yeah,
it was so... It was not... I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that loved it, but I was falling asleep.
The funny thing is, I haven't heard anybody ever talk about it. Same thing with Spiral. I've heard Spiral is actually really good. It's a good addition to
the reason
why
I was talking about Candyman is because it's fucking boring.
Yeah, that's what I was like, wow.
There's nothing
like,
to talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like, I mean, maybe I'll watch it again to see if maybe that's really my opinion or if I was just tired when I watched it. But when you have, and then they're like, oh, Tony Todd's in the movie. No, Tony Todd is not in the movie. It is a computer-generated facsimile of Tony Todd at the very end of the movie for like 2 seconds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, Tony Todd's in it. Tony Todd is not in this movie.
No.
The original Candyman, you have all the right elements. Virginia Madsen is great in it. I love the investigative side of it where she's trying to crack an urban legend and the urban legend turns out to be real. Tony Todd has got that voice that just wraps around your body and you will basically do anything he tells you because he's very seductive. And the Candyman character, when you see him, is super grotesque. But, like, there is something alluring about him that draws you in, and it's the voice, and it's that the manipulation of what he does to get Helen to come back to him.
I kind of wish they would have used the line in there, the be my victim. Like, I kind of like, because there's a part in the breakdown, or like, it slows down and then it picks back up into the chorus again. I kind of wish they would have done the be my victim. Just that deep Tony Todd type voice, like just echoing as the song's kind of picking back up again, and then it kicks off.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool.
It would have been a really nice touch because they did that in a couple of the other songs. Maybe they decided to be a little more subtle with this one and just focus more on the love story part of it, because the song really does focus on the love story part a little bit more, because this is him chasing Helen. And you're getting a little bit of that...
Helen.
You're getting a little bit of that story, too, of... I fell in love with the wrong woman and it cost me my life.
Yes, yeah, it did.
So, like, there's a lot of elements to this where I think they knocked it out of the park and it was a great way to end a fairly chaotic album that was so all over the place with a very gentle kind of we're going to nudge you out the door type of song. And that's your exhale. So you have this build up at the beginning a little bit. The entire middle gets fucking crazy. Cuckoo Banana Pants with all of like the deathcore and the industrial and the different like harder metal elements. And then at the end of it, they're like any good movie. They let you.
Yeah.
At the end.
So I like the way that they left it. It's really a really good spinoff. And I really can't wait for the final cut on this one, just to see like what because you know that they're going to be doing a Farewell to Flesh acoustic. Like that's an easy one to do.
It would be, and I kind of want to do my own version of it because I love it that much. And I just the first time I heard it, it took my breath away, and I've been kind of in a weird spot, mental health wise. So like. It probably hit me a little harder than it normally would. But yeah, this song is fucking gorgeous. And I make no secret about it. Like, in terms of the way this album is, like, it's probably my favorite song on the album.
All right, so.
Top three.
Do you want to go ahead and do yours? Or do you want me to do mine?
Yeah, no, I'll do mine.
All right.
Top three on Welcome to Horrorwood. Farewell to Flesh is number one, for sure. The Box is number two, and the shower scene is number three, but those two can change places at any time. So those are my top three for the album. Overall, this fucker is a banger. I think it would have, if Fly wasn't in there, it'd be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It's like 4.9 out of 5, but Fly is like, because it's kind of boring, but.
Yeah, my top three is number one, Funeral Derangement. 2 is Take Your Pick, and then 3 would have to either be, I think it's definitely Farewell to Flesh. Like, that's those are the top 3. The Box is right there, but Farewell to Flesh has a it's more elegant, and I think it's better constructed.
It feels better.
Yes, yeah.
It's more of a feeling thing.
Yeah, the Box is great, but again, having Brandon and what's his name from
Ryan,
like, that's the thing, is like having them on there, like it's amazing, but that was the thing, was it's Farewell to Flesh it's a little bit more oomph to it. So, but Take Your Pick, come on, it's Corpse Grinder. Like, I just can't. Like, and also, I have to, like, it makes me happy that Corpse Grinder is featuring on other people's albums, because it's...
especially on a mainstream band.
Well, I mean,
Ink's almost mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer's been getting buddy-buddies with a lot of bands. Like, I mean, we talked about Twisted on the last... the last bonus episode, where it's like he just showed up, and you still need to listen to that album because you're gonna love it. but one of the other things that I thought was really cool with Corpse Grinder is that he recently was just featured on Dee Snider's new album. I was like, how fucking cool is that? It's Dee Snider. And the only problem was in the song that he featured on, He said the same line over and over again. It sounds amazing, and especially with D, like, just the track, but it's not where it's giving him a chance to say something else. It's like literally like, okay, scream this one line out and you're good. Like, we'll send you a check. Like,
yeah,
we'll sell you some money or something, you know, whatever. Right. But that's like with the Ice Nine Kills stuff, it's like, it was awesome for him to actually, again, just be a part of it and have that duet. So that was really cool. And then Funeral Derangement, it's the song itself, I mean, it just hits super hard. Oh my god, like, I'm dead serious, like the Dead is Better part, like, it just, every time I hear it, it's just fist bump, slam a fist down on the pavement, like, it's just that good. But the fact that our son is 7 years old and he's obsessed with the song. I mean, he's obsessed with Stabbing in the Dark and you know, the Scream song. You know, anytime we play it on our car rides and stuff like that, like, he's just in it. Like, I was like, that's...
He was screaming Dead is Better in the car, by the way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hilarious. It's, like, screaming it.
Yeah. So really I'm very happy that we're raising a horror and, yeah, you know, just a nerd in general, like, because he's going to have a better life, a more fun life, I should say. But it's just like, it's going to be really cool. But that's why Funeral Derangement is one of my favorites, just because our son loves it so much. So it's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. So super cute.
I'm assuming, like, what do you want to rate this at, since we just...
It's a 4.9. It's a 4.9 out of 5. Like I said, if Fly wasn't on there, it'd be an absolutely perfect fucking album.
I would definitely say the 4.9 because of the Fly, but also because of them leaning a little bit too much on the back tracks, like, just the added stuff where
the sound effects and those sorts,
like,
of things.
Yeah, the sound effects and everything, it's just like it's a little too produced when like stuff like with the assault and batteries with, like, the kids. It's like, clearly it's adults where they've changed the voices to make them sound smaller. It's like, it's easier to just go get kids. Like, just do that. So, I mean, stuff like that. And then, like, I kind of want more Jacoby. Like, not bad. Just one-on-one. So, but yeah. Right. It's a banger of an album.
So before we started recording, I was like, oh, this will be like a 30-minute episode, right?
And then I laughed right in your face.
Because I grossly underestimated my dorkiness.
No. What are you going to do? It's like, yeah, good track, good track, good track, bad track, good track, good track. All right, go home. Loser.
But, no, this is the end of the episode, so thank you so much for coming along on this ride. We are still knee deep in our Icons Return month with our sequels, our slasher sequels. So join us for the rest of Spooky Times while we get through the last few movies for that.
And join us on October 22nd when we do our Cradle of Filth review.
When you do your Cradle of Filth
review. Oh, man. Come on.
Nope.
It's Cradle.
No.
Come on. You don't want to listen to an hour of screeching?
Did you? Wow. No.
I will say, Danny Filth, man, he's still got it. And, like, the new songs that
did
are
you ever
out,
hear the song oh. that Bring Me the Horizon did with him?
Yeah.
It's good. It's fun.
But I'm saying, like, he's got it, man. Like, I think one of my favorites for him is the stuff that he did with Motionless and White. That song fucking rips. It's really good. So.
Yeah. So, Danny Filth getting around, too. All right, guys, that wraps it up. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Slasher at Creepin' It Real on all platforms. Email creepinitreal.cm@gmail.com. And the merch site, creepinitreal.redbubble.com, or hit the link in the Instagram bio and go buy some shit because Christmas is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So until we drop our next movie episode, I've been Meg.
I've been Lunchbox.
And please go get this album.
Because sometimes it does.